Thoughts are things. Welcome to Thoughts Are Things, a podcast. I'm Jonathan Zenz. Last week, I said this one thing that might have gone by pretty quickly. I said, God is the core answer to the question, who are you? This makes the answer to another question, one that I'm going to open this week with, probably pretty easy. The question, where is God? I want you to really think through your answer. What initially comes to mind for you? There are, I'm sure, many of us who grew up with the idea that God was out there somewhere. We may have grown up with the images of this white-bearded man sitting on a golden throne in heaven, keeping an eye on all of us. We may also have been brought up to believe that as long as we didn't upset this man, he would be benevolent and kind, and when we died, we would get to hang out with him for eternity, and that was considered a good thing. But if we crossed him, he would condemn us to eternal hellfire. Well, then we would hear things like, God is love. Well, that seemed in opposition to this judgmental being who, again, was just out there somewhere. Does that seem like a supportive understanding of God? God is love, but only on special occasions when he feels benevolent. That doesn't sound supportive to me. And you know what? That makes me feel powerless. I mean, how do I know what kind of mood God is going to be in at any given time? I mean, what if something I do today is okay, but he's not okay with it tomorrow? It also goes against the more mystical understanding of God that I have personally come to believe. Each and every one of us is, as I said last week, of God. There is no separation. So given that, I will ask the question again. Where is God? The only answer to that question, I think, is in another question. Where are you? Get it? If we are one of God, then God is right where we are. And that makes sense to me because if God is omnipresent, which is taught in so many faith traditions, then God has to be right where we are. If God is infinite, again, something that's taught in many faith traditions, then if we are not of God, then God is finite. We are a part of infinity after all. So, God is right where you are, and right where I am, and where each and everything we encounter and experience is, all of it. Our life is God's life. Our thoughts are God's thoughts. Our capacity to love is God's capacity to love. So, where are you? What are you thinking about right now? Seriously, right in this moment, what is that voice in the back of your head saying as you listen to this? Is that thought supporting you? And more importantly, where did that thought come from? Remember, your thoughts are God's thoughts. Is it a thought that you can trace to a belief? And does that thought keep repeating itself over and over? Well, my guess is that it will continue to repeat itself as long as the belief behind it is maintained. That is habitual thinking. And habitual thinking is born of strongly held beliefs. Albert Einstein once said, "Anyone who reads too much and uses their brain too little falls into lazy habits of thinking." Now, if I'm going to be totally honest, I have to tell you that I was initially attracted to the specific spiritual path I'm on because it was intellectual in nature. At first, it totally appealed to my intellect, and it tends to appeal to intellectuals. The common tagline for the work we do in this faith tradition is, change your thinking, change your life. And I do believe that. But I think it goes much deeper than that. It's not enough to change your thinking. What needs to be addressed is a total belief system. It's when we look at and challenge our beliefs that life truly begins to change. Now, that doesn't happen when we only think about the philosophy. This is an active philosophy. That is, it's meant to be lived and challenged, and it is ever evolving. It's up to each and every one of us to take charge of our minds and use them. So what is it you're doing to make your life better from a spiritual perspective? Do you have a spiritual practice? Is it working for you? Did it once work for you, but now perhaps you find that you're just going through the motions? One of my primary practices is meditation. I meditate every day, and it works for me. But you know what? The moment it doesn't work for me, I will find something else that does work. We must have the willingness to be flexible. After all, I don't want to be the one who, as Einstein noted, falls into lazy habits of thinking. And the real culprit in that quote is habit. Habit is powerful, and it is our habitual thinking that is really running the majority of the show in our lives. Just like we have involuntary bodily functions, breathing, circulation, our reflexes, so do we have involuntary thought processes, our habitual thinking. The nice thing about the habitual thinking is that we can basically reprogram our habits and thought. And that's a good thing because I don't necessarily want to maintain some of my habits and thought. If I habitually focus on lack and limitation, my whole point of view and experience of life will be from that perspective. It doesn't matter what the experience is, I will consider it from lack and limitation. If I turn that habit into a habit of affluence and freedom, then everything I experience is considered from that perspective. Imagine there are two people in a room, and in that room is a pile of cash. Say it's $1,000. If one person looks at it from the point of view of lack, then it will never be experienced as enough money. Now, if the other person's habitual thinking is affluence, then the point of view will be one of possibility and potential. For that person, $1,000 is enough, and there is always more where that came from. Who would you like to be? I mean, after all, you are in charge. And I will repeat it until I'm blue in the face because I truly believe it. My life has gotten better and better and better because I decided to take charge of my mind, my thoughts, and my beliefs. And I acted on them. Acting on them is paramount. The truth I'm speaking about right now is what I will refer to as truth with a capital T. That is the spiritual truth. The truth known is not necessarily the truth lived. We have to live this truth. It takes active living of the truth to embody it. And it is in embodiment that we ultimately experience the good. We are actually always experiencing the truth we have embodied, but it may not be the truth we want to experience. It takes active work to habitualize the truth in the way we want to experience it. Decide today that you will focus like a laser on the good and live with a decided mind. You are worth it. Don't allow yourself to fall into the trap that is prevalently supported by our culture, the trap of suffering. So many people live in suffering because they feel it is admired. People pay attention to us, feel sympathy for us, wallow with us in our suffering. I won't deny that if I don't feel good, the first thing I feel compelled to do is to go tell someone so I can get their sympathy. Does that sound familiar? It makes us feel connected, but it is simply another habit and thought. And it is a habit that keeps us in the frame of mind of suffering. And so we view all of life as suffering when we don't have to. Now, another thing I think needs to be addressed is judgment. UB Blake, he was a 20th century American composer of jazz and ragtime. He said, "I don't have any bad habits. They might be bad for other people, but they're all right for me." That's a pretty good point. Let's not judge. What works for me may not work for you. And if you think about it, our propensity to judge may be just another habit. See how ingrained our habits of thought are? I'm here to encourage a workable and practical spiritual practice. And I think one of the first steps to begin a deeper experience of spirituality is to tend to our habits. We don't need to sit in the lotus position on a mountaintop to be spiritual. There is so much out there for every one of us to explore, experience, and devour. What are we waiting for? Let's do new things, encourage new experiences, question everything we think we know, and develop a deeper sense of self along the way. That feels like a good habit to be in. That's it for this week. I look forward to next week, and I invite you to remember, you are in charge of your mind. So choose to use it wisely. This episode of Thoughts Are Things was recorded by Don Zenz. Thoughts Are Things is independently produced. Check out my blog and sign up for regular updates at jonathanzenz.com.